You mentioned pertuzumab. Can you talk a little bit about what we know about that agent in ovarian cancer and what we know about HER2 in ovarian cancer?
Well, HER2 by itself, we initially thought that overexpression of HER2 would be more common than it turned out to be. The GOG did a large study and found only about 10% of patients were overexpressors, and there were only a couple of responses. So Herceptin by itself or trastuzumab is not really considered to be an active agent. Pertuzumab is still too early to tell whether this is going to be a useful drug. By itself, it had some responses in the study. And now, in this most recent study that reported at ASCO, combining with gemcitabine, it was relatively low, but it may be encouraging enough to continue a larger study to see whether pertuzumab in combination with chemotherapy may be useful.
What do we know specifically about pertuzumab in patients, unusual patients who do have HER2 activation?
They were looking at some biomarkers on the ratio of two of the epitopes, and I think they were trying to figure out if they could identify patients who may, in fact, have a higher response rate. And I think that may be ultimately the plan to see if you could, this is retrospective data, if you could prospectively identify patients on a basis of HER2 and HER3, I think with HER2 and 3 receptor ratios, that who may respond.
You were talking about the carbo-paclitaxel combination. What do we know about nab-paclitaxel in ovarian?
Yeah, Abraxane is clearly an active drug. I think it does have some activity. The issue is it better than or less toxic than paclitaxel carboplatin? You know, it's those kind of studies that I think individuals have a hard time saying, well, we really want to do a large randomized trial. It's unlikely to really push the frontiers forward of more cure rates, and it may be slightly less toxic, although some people would argue that. You know, there are other drugs that are being developed. There are different types of pathalone. Pathalones may be useful, but it's still unclear. There are different types of polyglutamated taxols that are being studied. Whether or not they really make a difference, I think, is going to be, in my mind, that they're not going to have a major impact. It's nice to have less toxic drugs, no question. But paclitaxel plus carboplatin, again, is a pretty well-tolerated regimen. And again, there was a large nationwide trial that Lilly sponsored of paclitaxel carbo versus gem carbo in previously untreated patients. I think that study finished accrual and may be reported at ASCO this year. Now, again, that combination, I don't think it's likely to be better than paclitaxel carbo as far as the outcome goes. It may have different toxicity profile than some sets of patients who have diabetes and really at a high risk for neuropathy, that combination may be preferable. But again, those are important issues for individual patients. But as far as improving overall cure rates, I'm not optimistic that any of the drugs that are being used right now will be able to do that.
I guess there have been some hints, at least in breast cancer, maybe increased activity with NAB compared to
regular
paclitaxel. But I think even in breast cancer, clearly clinical research is focusing on biologics and kind of just, you know, not getting into the choice of chemo too much anymore.
Right.